Hello, friends, and welcome back to the While We're Waiting Hope After Child Loss podcast. I'm Jill Sullivan, your host and one of the co-founders of the While We're Waiting ministry. This is a podcast of stories of devastating loss and grief and heartbreak and struggle, and stories of hope and healing and faith and, yes, even joy. Underlying every conversation is the hope we have in Jesus Christ, which makes it possible to not just survive the loss of a child, but to live well while we're waiting to see them again in heaven one day. You can learn more about our ministry and the free bereaved parent retreats we host by visiting our website at www.whilewerewaiting.org. Welcome to episode number 142. Before we get to today's guest, I want to share a little bit about an upcoming event we're really excited about. On April 21st and 22nd, my husband Brad and I will be part of a panel of speakers at an event in Tulsa, Oklahoma called Discerning Biblical Truth, a Conference for Bereaved Parents. You can attend this event either in person or join it online, and it will be recorded so it can be watched later if you've already committed somewhere else that weekend. You know, there are a lot of conferences for bereaved parents, but most of them are not faith-based, and many include content that is not biblical. Our desire with this event is to present content to grieving parents that is biblically sound, hope-filled, and with an emphasis on stewarding our grief well. This conference is sponsored by one of our favorite ministries, Our Hearts, Our Home, and you can find all the information and register on their website at www.ourheartsourhome.org/conference. There's a link in the show notes in case you're driving and can't write that down. All right, now to my guests. I first met Chris and Tina Houghton when they came to our While We're Waiting weekend in October of 2018, just a few years after their son Garrett was killed in a tragic boating accident. They have a remarkable story of leaning into their faith in the face of great loss, and I believe you'll be blessed by listening in. Hi, Chris and Tina. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Let's get started just by giving you an opportunity to tell the listeners a little bit about yourselves. Tell us where you're from and what life is like for you there.
Okay. Well, we are from Mount Carmel, Illinois. I am a physical therapist assistant. I work in assisted living facility, taking care of the elderly geriatric population. I love my job. I've been a therapist for 27 years.
Wow.
Love what I do. Yeah. Chris, my husband, he can tell you a little bit about him.
I'm an electrical engineering assistant. Basically, I build what the engineers design and I install the equipment in our plant.
Wow.
And we live here with our two sons. Ben, who is 22, is actually going to college to also be a therapist.
So,
and then our youngest son, Elijah, is 17, so he'll be graduating this year, and he plans to go to college for pre-med. He wants to be a doctor.
Wow, I didn't know that about Elijah. Good for him.
Yes, yes, I mean, we're very excited for both of them and their careers and what they're doing with their lives. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. As far as hobbies and things we like to do, we are very heavily involved in our church. Seems like that's in our free time. That's what we do. We're at church.
Well, it's a good place to be in your free time. That's awesome.
Yes.
So you do have another son, and that's Garrett, and we're here today to talk about him. Would you just take a few minutes and tell us about him? Help us get to know him a little bit.
Sure. Garrett was a country boy. He loved to hunt, fish. He was just an outdoors, he loved the outdoors, an outdoors person. He was a welder at a machine shop where we lived at the time. He loved his job. He was an artist. He loved to draw. He could sit down and freehand drawings, just so beautiful. He had a huge black Ford F-250 that he loved very much. It was his pride and joy.
It has 46-inch tires on it.
Yes. A huge, huge truck.
Yeah, it sounds like the perfect country boy truck.
Oh, yes. Yeah, he loved it. We still have it. We have kept it. He always had a smile on his face. He was a very happy young man, just, you know, trying to figure out his place in the world. That's where he was at that moment.
Sure. So talk about what happened in the summer of 2014.
So my son was 19 years old, and he decided to go boating with some friends. So he was out on the Ohio River. And the way there's islands in the river, so you can go from one island to the other. And, you know, they would park, pull the boat up, get off, you know, hang out with friends, get out, get back on the boat, go to the next island. So that was the plan. They were leaving one island to go to the other. His good friend was driving the boat. It was his friend's boat. And his friend thought that all of the passengers were on the boat, but Garrett was not on the boat yet. The boy put the boat in reverse as Garrett was trying to get onto the back of the boat to get in, and the boat ran over my son. And he had severe injuries all over his body. The people there said that he passed out in a matter of minutes, which gives me some peace just in that accident, just peace that for that what happened that day. But he had severe injuries that he could never have recovered from, no matter what. So his friends got him to the shore and tried to do CPR, tried to save him, but there was no saving him. And he was out there for about 45 minutes before, like, the police and the coroner. And, you know, it was just a real chaotic mess because they were out in the middle of the river.
Sure.
But there was nothing they could have done to save him.
Yeah. At what point did you find out that something had happened?
I was at home with my other two boys. And Garrett's dad, because my husband Chris is his stepdad, Garrett's dad called me, and he said that there had been, he got a call from someone at the river that there had been an accident and our son was being life flighted to the hospital. So that's really all I knew at the time. He said, just come to the river. That's all I know. So got my two boys, jumped into the car, headed that way. It's about 20 minutes from our house. And I was in such a crazy, didn't know what was going on. Just kind of disoriented even, like, what is going on here? I went the wrong direction. So I had to backtrack and get there. But before I got there, his dad called me back and told me to pull over. So really at that time, I knew it was bad, or my son had passed, or just something. I just knew that it was just, I was filled with dread at that time. So I pulled over, and he said, I don't have any details, but he didn't make it, Tina.
Wow.
And so I was just devastated, started screaming and crying. My two boys at that time were 13 and 9. They were crying. Like I said, we didn't know what had happened, but, you know, they told us that he didn't make it. So I remember my son, Ben, who was 13, he was just beating on the dash, crying, because I knew that something happened to their older brother.
Yeah.
So I finally got out to the river and still didn't even really know what happened for a long time. And the police came and, you know, told me they're, you know, kind of as much about the accident as they could. But it was a lot of confusion when the kids called to get help for Garrett. The dispatch was under the impression that he had drowned. So there was just all kinds of confusion. So it took me a long time to really know what actually happened to him.
We had some friends that was on the river that day that actually held the story, really what happened from us for a little while. And then they opened up and went into full detail of what happened.
They didn't want to tell me. It was so horrific. Yeah. They didn't want to tell me.
Yeah. Yeah. When you hear of an accident on a river, like you said, you assume drowning.
Yes.
And you would never imagine that something could happen like what happened.
Yes.
I can just imagine what a shock that would have been.
Yeah. And even driving there in my mind, I was trying to think what could have happened, you know, and I did think drowning, or maybe he got hit by the boat or got hit in the head or fell off the boat, hit his head or something, like what could it have been? But never in my, could I have thought that, something this horrible could have happened to my son.
Right.
I was actually at work that day, and every time she would get a call, she would call me at work. And when she told me life flight, I'm thinking, it's serious, but we're going to be okay. So I told her, I said, as soon as I get out of here, I'll call you. I'll meet you at the hospital, wherever they're flying into. And I got to the parking lot. She said she was headed to the river. They hadn't got him off the river yet. Well, where I work was only 10 minutes from where they were going. So I started headed towards the river. And then before I could get there, she called me and told me he was gone.
Wow. I can't imagine just starting out a normal day, whatever you had going on that day, you're at work, you're, taking care of your other boys, everything is normal, everything is fine. And then all of a sudden something like this happened so completely out of the blue.
Yes.
How do you even, it's so hard for me to imagine because our story is so different. How you even just make that transition to being a regular day to being the worst day of your life.
Well, and this was a Sunday. And actually, that it was an afternoon, about 3:30. And I was going to Walmart to pick up some things. And I passed them. My son was pulling the boat with his truck, pulling his friend's boat with his truck. So I passed them on the way.
Yeah.
About 3:30. And I saw they were going, boating. So 2 hours later, I got the call. So that was really devastating. And really, I think that's what blew my mind and why so shocking. I just saw him a couple hours ago. And then this happened so quickly. And my life totally changed in a matter of a very short time.
Yeah, right there in that moment.
Yeah.
So it was an accident, clearly. But was there still a struggle for you at all with forgiveness for the driver of the boat or the other young men that were out there that day? Was that a problem for you or something you had to deal with?
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Yes. There was a lot of negligence. And it was very hard. Now, I've come to terms now that my son was negligent as well. So, he had the responsibility of being out there and knowing, what to do around a boat. He was out there. But it did take me a long time to forgive the driver and the kids out there. They were all friends, but it just could have so easily been prevented. So that was really hard for me to forgive, but I did. I did. It took me several years, but I did reach out to the boy driving the boat and told him that I forgave him.
Yeah.
And that I didn't harbor any hard feelings. But it was hard. It wasn't something I could do right away.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sure that was very impactful for that young man, for you to approach him like that and offer your forgiveness.
Yes. Yeah. I hope that I know their lives were changed by it, probably more than I will ever know.
Yeah.
for us, it brought us closer to God. And so that's what I can hope for them, is that when times get hard or tough in their lives, they turn their troubles over to Jesus.
Yes, exactly. That's the only
answer.
And
that is what I said in the message that I sent him, you know.
Yeah, good. So at the time that this podcast airs, it will have been over 8 years, almost nine, actually, if I've done my math right, since Garrett went to heaven. Mm-hmm. How would you say that your grief has evolved over the years?
Well, I would definitely say that I'm able to handle my grief a lot better than I did in the beginning.
Yeah.
I still cry. I still miss him, and it still hurts. But it's not as hard as it was in the beginning. In the beginning, I didn't know if I was going to be able to keep going.
Yeah.
I was just devastated, in shock. I just didn't know what my life was going to look like. I remember looking at my husband and I said, how am I going to live the next 40 years of my life with this pain? I just did not see how I could get through it.
Yeah.
But by turning my grief over to God, really, and just asking him to help me with it and take it from me, that's the only way I've been able to keep going.
Yeah.
Most people would run from God in a situation like that. But what Tina done, I would get up in the mornings to get ready to go to work, and she'd be sitting in her reading room with the Bible every morning before I ever got up. Wow. And I would get up like 5:30 or 6, and she'd already be down, and she read her Bible religiously every morning. She was there with that Bible in her hand for 2 years probably.
Yeah.
I have to say that my faith actually increased after losing my son. We went to church. But that's what we did. We went to church. We came home. There was no relationship with God. It was just, this is what we did. And I really didn't know the Bible. I didn't know scriptures. And so when that happened to Garrett, I wanted answers. I knew that, I just felt like I needed to go to God to help me.
Yes.
With my grief. Mm-hmm. And really, he was just there every day. Every day giving me strength, and he continues to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, and like Chris said, so many people would do the opposite, you know, turn from the Lord and say, no, I don't want to have anything to do with that Bible anymore. Right. And I'm thankful that it had the opposite effect on you, that it drove you to the Word of God, because, you know, that's the only place that we can find truth.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So what advice would you give to somebody that's just starting their grief journey? Maybe it's just been a couple of weeks or a month or 6 months. They're still in the first year. What advice would you give to a newly bereaved parent?
First of all, people really don't realize what it's like to lose a child. So if you find yourself in that situation, and it's very hard to do, try to have patience with the others, because they'll say things that will really aggravate you.
Yes.
Try to find patience in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say my advice would be just really seek God to help you get through it. Read the Bible. Seek out scriptures. I would go to the Bible and just look up scriptures. Look up a subject, like even death.
Yeah,
I wanted to know what the Bible said about death, and just different subjects like that, because I didn't know the Bible then like I do now.
Yeah.
So I didn't know where to start, but that's what I did. I would go to the back of the Bible, look up a subject, go to the scriptures that, you know, that pertain to that word, and to help me understand it. So I would say, seek God, pray. I prayed a lot for God to help me just to be able to get through it, because even though I wasn't out there that day, I would picture it in my mind.
Sure.
And it was really tormenting me.
Yeah.
I would lay at night and just cry and say, please, God, take this from me. And he did. He did. I don't think about the accident anymore like I did. I just feel like if I wouldn't have just really searched the Bible, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't be where I'm at.
Yeah. I like what you said about praying that God would just remove some of those really painful and awful thoughts from you. That's something that I had to deal with too. You know, we were with Hannah when she died, and she died from cancer, and the end was, it was pretty rough, and we were there and saw it and heard it and smelled it and all of those things. And like you, every time I would go to bed, I would replay that in my mind over and over. Or when I was driving, a lot of times it would hit me when I was driving. And I would just pray, not just for him to take it away, but to replace it with something else. Please take away these awful thoughts and give me something else to think about, something better. And over time, God was faithful to do that. And it sounds like he has done that for you too.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that's great advice for somebody who is dealing with that kind of thing. So we've already talked about how you really searched out scripture there at the beginning and that you've continued to do that. Are there any particular scriptures that have really been meaningful to you? Maybe one that you found early on that you kind of clung to and has helped you over time?
Yes. As I had said before, Garrett was an artist. He could draw, sit down and draw pictures. And he drew, when he was 17, a picture of a feather. And it says, free yourself. I always loved that drawing. But after he passed, my sister-in-law sent me the scripture, Psalm 91:4, that says, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. And I never had heard of that scripture. So, as I said, I'm just going to be really honest. I did not read the Bible a whole lot before this. So I didn't know this scripture existed. So when she sent me that, I was kind of in total awe and shock, and just wanted to know more of scripture.
Yeah.
And then another one of my favorites is John 16:33, that says, in this world we will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Yes.
So we will have trouble, but God is ultimately in control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think a lot of times people think that when we're a Christian, when we're a believer, or when we live a good life or that kind of thing, that we won't have any trouble, that things will go smoothly for us. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says in this life, we will have trouble.
Yes.
But he's with us in that, and that helps. I'm familiar with Garrett's drawing that says free yourself because you have it tattooed on your arm, right?
I do. Yes. And my husband has it on his arm.
Yes. And it is a beautiful drawing. And, you know, when you told me, I'm sure you told me at the retreat what that drawing meant to you and the scripture that it was based on, it just made it that much more beautiful and more meaningful. So, yeah, I love that. At our retreats, we often talk about how men and women tend to grieve differently. I know, Chris, that you're Garrett's stepdad, but you've been a part of his life since he was about 5 years old, from what I remember. So how have the two of you grieved together, and maybe how have you grieved differently? How have you worked through those things?
I try to support her any way I can. I mean, we've got involved with grief support groups. Where, what's the other group called?
Grief Share.
We got involved with that, and we were presenting that class to people, and we're actually involved with that group up here as well.
Yeah.
But the biggest part was the while we're waiting, the refuge. But it's me. And men tend to try to hide their emotions. And yeah, I've cried, but I try not to cry in front of her.
Yeah.
But whenever she needs me, I try to make myself fully available to her.
Yeah. And I would say, I think men and women do grieve very differently, and even mothers and fathers and just people in general. So I have not seen him grieve a lot, but I know that he does, you know, grieve Garrett and miss him. And like you said, him being there for me, that has been a big thing. He is there for me no matter what, if I want to, whatever I want to do, however I want to honor Garrett's memory, whatever I want to be involved in, that like for an anniversary or his birthday, whatever I want to do, he is right there with me, supporting me and helping me to do that.
So yeah. You were correct. I was with Garrett at the age of 5. Mm-hmm. So I spent time with him teaching baseball, fishing. This is a story that he took his own money 1 year for Father's Day and bought me a statue of a father squatted down, leaning over a little boy holding a baseball bat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And wow. That statue is still, I still have it. I've got certain mementos from all my kids, and I've got them on a shelf in my closet. So every time I go into my closet, there's the statue and the other things.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Clearly for him, that represented your relationship with him. So that's a beautiful gift from him. Yeah. And I've seen, Chris, how you've supported Tina just at our While We're Waiting retreat that you came to. You guys came to a retreat as attendees, and then you've come back to serve. And you've really done a great job, from what I can see, of just being a support to her and walking through this with her. And I appreciate that. We love when stepdads come to our retreats, because they learn so much about their wives when they come to something like this. And of course, you knew Garrett nearly his whole life. So you I'm sure had a good relationship, it sounds like. This concludes the first half of my conversation with Chris and Tina Houghton. I hope you'll come back next week as we extend our conversation to talk about issues often faced by bereaved parents, including the things people say, dealing with the holidays and other special days, anger with God, and the profound life changes that result from child loss. We'll also talk about a very unique event they sponsor in Garrett's memory and the While We're Waiting support group they lead in Illinois. Thanks again for listening, and I look forward to sharing the rest of our chat with you next Wednesday.